He never passed me the ball. And he passed me the ball. Kobe passed me the ball. And Phil didn't want me to shoot the three. I heard him. Because he's the Zen master, so he can speak to you without, you know? He can speak to you, and he don't need a microphone. He just, you can hear him in your head. Ron, don't shoot, don't shoot. I said, whatever. Boom, deep. Woo.
55 in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed, the light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
And now, the starting lineup for the Lake Show World Podcast. At host, 7 foot from San Francisco State, it's number 44, Ryan Williams. At co-host, 6'2" from Boston University, number 22, Grant Dowling. Also co-hosting, 5'11" from Cal Poly Pomona, number 20, Vinay Kilawala. Stand by and get ready for the Lake Show World Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into this edition of the Lake Show World Podcast, the first episode of the Lake Show World Podcast. My name is Ryan Williams, and I will be your host. I am joined today by my two co-hosts, Vinay and Grant. Vinay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We've finally made it through the black hole of sports, which is August, and we're almost to training camp.
I agree with that. Grant, what about yourself, man?
I'm still alive, but barely breathing.
I think that's the I think that's our motto now, right? I mean, after this whole Twitter thing went down and we kind of, you know, went ghost for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple things going on, but we're back, you know, back in on better. Let's get to it. A little introduction since this is our first episode. Vinay, go ahead and start us off. Grant, you follow.
Hey there, Laker fans. I'm Vinay. You could find me on Twitter at VKillum. I've been a Laker fan my entire life. I have season tickets and have had them for like the past 6 years. And I guess my favorite memory of, you know, watching the Lakers was actually when I graduated high school and the Lakers were about to three-peat. And I went to sleep and my dad was like, hey, aren't you going to watch the game? They may close it out tonight. And I was like, nah, I went to sleep and I woke up and the Lakers had won a championship. So, you know, it's been a good experience for me so far.
Grant, what about you?
Hi, Laker fans. My name is Grant Dowling. You can follow me on Twitter at Grant H. Dowling. Like Vinay, I'm a lifelong Lakers fan, and like Ryan. Probably my favorite memory as a Laker fan has to be Derek Fisher's .4 shot. I have like bits and pieces of good memories from watching the Lakers growing up, but that was like around, I was like 7 when that happened. So that was probably around the time where, no, not even, I was like 6. So that was the time around where I like realized what was happening, what was going on, and how dope the team I cheered for was. So here I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Like both you guys, Ryan here, lifelong Lakers fan. You know, pretty much bled purple and gold out the womb. My dad, my first ever Laker game that I went to was the very last game ever played at the Forum. My dad had season tickets for 14 years while I was in middle school. And I was at game 7 Lakers Celtics, when they won the back to back. I went to a couple games the year prior when they played Orlando. I've been to Kobe's 81. So, I mean, I just, everything purple and gold is what I'm all about. And I always have been, and I always will be. So, much love to all the Laker fans out there tuning in. As for that, I think we're going to get into a little talk here on the center situation. Vinay, I know you did some things on, you did a, what was that? Like a article or no, you did a podcast, right? You did,
yeah,
a different podcast on the whole situation. Why don't you give us a little breakdown of what's going on with the acquisition of Dwight Howard? Of course, DeMarcus tearing his ACL. Give us a little, your thought process on that whole,
yeah,
thing.
So, I did a quick pod on the whole situation with Cousins, as well as with, you know, what options the Lakers sort of had. So, you know, for Laker fans that aren't in the loop, basically Cousins hurt himself just playing pickup ball and tore his ACL. So most likely he's going to be out for the entire season. And the Lakers were working out three players. They were working out Dwight, Joakim Noah, and Maurice Spates. And it turns out that they, after meeting with a bunch of the players and kind of convincing him that he wasn't going to be a problem in the locker room and that he sort of turned a new leaf, it looks like we signed Dwight. So it's going to be interesting because I know Laker fans everywhere have a lot of feelings about Dwight returning to the Lakers after everything that happened with his first tenure around here. So it's just basically what I was sort of mentioning was that Dwight is actually a really good pairing alongside Anthony Davis since he sort of has the build to defend guys like Embiid and Jokic. So it's sort of good that we added a guy like him. For me personally, it's really going to come down to whether he behaves himself when he's in the locker room and when it comes to his playing time and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. My first thought process was, what a great signing because of all the talk that Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five. And I think that Dwight Howard, like you mentioned, Vinay, is going to be great guarding guys like Joel Embiid and kind of those bigger bodied centers that maybe Anthony Davis doesn't want to bang with. Grant, what are your thoughts on the deal?
Well, I'm probably not as optimistic as Vinay. I still remember that tragic 2012-2013 season all too well. I think, you know, obviously the Lakers needed a center after what happened to DeMarcus Cousins. Dwight Howard is probably the best center that was available on paper. He does a lot of the things that JaVale McGee already does for this team, I think. My biggest concern, though, is obviously his behavior. But it sounds like, according to multiple reports, that the team and the players themselves had to sign off on letting Dwight become a Laker and joining them, which inspires some confidence. And on top of that, you know, they can cut him at any time. It's a non-guaranteed deal. So, you know, I hate to say it at this point after what happened to DeMarcus, but it's pretty much like the deal they gave DeMarcus. It's pretty low risk, high reward. So we'll see what happens.
And I agree. I think that Dwight Howard, as you mentioned, was the best center available, kind of what Vinay and you were both talking about. But, I mean, there were some other guys out there, you know. We were talking, what was it, Mo Spates or Joakim Noah and a couple other guys were mentioned. Vinay, can you maybe list off some of the other options they had?
Yeah, so one of the things I was sort of talking about on Twitter and trying to inform Laker fans about was Joakim and Dwight were basically really quality defensive centers, but they had like different techniques where Dwight kind of uses his leaping ability to make guys, you know, have to really get around him or shoot over him. Joakim is a little bit better at just kind of using his length and sort of his IQ when it comes to that sort of thing. So Joakim was an option there. And that's a guy that I thought would be really good, not only for just on the court, but also for just kind of locker room presence. Cause one of the things that we know is when guys like LeBron and other guys, they all have sort of people keeping them accountable in the locker room. It usually works out pretty well for the entire team. That's one of the things that the Cavs had before LeBron's departure, or actually before Kyrie got traded. So I was looking at Noah. I know they took a look at Maurice Spates for his floor spacing ability. I don't know if he was really set up to defend alongside Anthony Davis for long periods of time. So he probably wasn't a great fit there. One of the other options we actually had that I had suggested was if the Lakers wanted to apply for that disabled player exception and then possibly see if they could grab a guy like Willie Hernan Gomez from Charlotte for like a second round pick, because he's on his last year right now anyways, and he's got a pretty small salary, or even somebody like Jahlil Okafor from the Pelicans, who, if anybody's been following Anthony Davis through the course of this offseason, he's been working out with him a lot. And so there were options out there, but it seems like the Lakers specifically wanted to go with somebody who could take that defensive burden off of Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and Grant, you kind of mentioned this that made me laugh, is that I remember that fateful day when the Lakers acquired Dwight Howard, and then mm-hmm. they acquired Steve Nash, and suddenly we're like, oh, whoa, this is, they're making moves here.
I was so excited, man.
Yeah, it all just blew up in our faces, literally. And I think that we're going to have to wait and see just kind of how he's going to respond to this. And Vinay, kind of off what you were saying about the workouts, what's going on with Jahlil, with Okafor and AD, I wanted to give a shout out to Lakers. What is he there? He's a coach on the staff, Mike Penberthy.
There you go.
Santa Clarita native. Give a shout out to my guy, Mike Penberthy. I played on his travel team back in the day. Grant, didn't you play on that with me?
Yeah. I remember him dropping into some of our high school practices.
Yeah, he used to come by our high school practices, and he was actually like the head of this travel ball program that I played on. So big kudos to Mike, who's back with kind of the program that he got his start with in the Lakers, and you know, won a championship there and did his thing. And so Mike Penberthy's been working him out over there in Thousand Oaks. I think they're at the Mamba Academy facilities over there. So stay tuned for those videos on Twitter. Those have been some fun videos to watch. But as for that, I think we're going to switch topics now. A lot of talk about Alex Caruso and that photo that he put out on Twitter. Dude was just looking absolutely yoked. you would have thought he just lived in the weight room the entire summer. And I really am impressed by that. And I knew that he was fit, you know, and he always had that bounce and that vertical and that kind of explosiveness that we even saw on Twitter today as the Lakers posted that little highlight of all of his dunks. I mean, why don't we start with you, Grant? Give me a little bit of your thought process going into this season, kind of how Caruso is going to fit into the rotation, starting role. I know there's talk that Avery Bradley might start at the point guard position. Rondo's still there. What are your thoughts?
If you ask me, which you are, I would have Alex Caruso as the starting point guard for the Lakers. They signed him to a 2-year contract, and he's getting paid more than Rondo is this year, who's on a minimum deal. I'm not going to read too much into that in terms of playing time between Caruso and Rondo, but Caruso's deal alone makes me think that they finally trust him to take on an 82-game load with the Lakers, whether it's off the bench or in the starting position. I just know I just really feel like he's going to get legitimate minutes finally. And when talking about like who should start at point guard, with whoever starts at center, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and probably Danny Green starting, I think it would serve the starting lineup best if the point guard was someone who could hit their shots and defend the opposing point guard. Because we all know it's a guard scoring league this year, or this era of basketball, I mean. Caruso, I think, is the perfect mold for that role. He's 6'5", and he hit 48% of his catch-and-shoot threes last year. He hit 48% of his three-point attempts last year and 53% of his catch-and-shoot threes last year. And it was only 25 games, and you know, he's only gotten to play that many games the past 2 years, or each of the last 2 years for the Lakers in his two-way contracts. But I really think that he's the one that fits best. If not him, Avery Bradley can start, because we all know he's a good defender. But I don't know if he's exactly the player they want at the point guard position to help bring up the ball.
No, and I completely agree with you, Grant. I think that his scoring ability is going to be a huge asset, because you don't want to have all of that scoring load put on LeBron and AD and Kuzma. You want to be able to have weapons that you can go to in a Danny Green, who you can kick it out to in the corner, who knockdown shooter. You know, Caruso can do the same thing. He can get to the rim. He's explosive. He's an explosive finisher. Not only that, is he an explosive finisher, he's a good finisher. And you were kind of talking about them kind of putting him on a full 82-game schedule. I mean, if he's the way he's looking right now, I think that he could play a full 164-game schedule. Like, give him 2 seasons. I mean, the dude is swole. It is incredible how buff this dude is right now, and I'm excited to see. I mean, it really is getting me hyped to see how he's going to play this year. Vinay, do you want to follow that up at all?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as both of you guys. I am very hyped for Caruso. I think a lot of times Laker fans sort of forget that Caruso is one of those guys that we kind of brought on, and we've kind of cultivated his talent, and we've helped coach him to the point that he's at right now, where he can now be you know, a potential starter for us. And so one of the things that I wanted to bring up was that Caruso last year, when we look at the advanced stats, even though he had a smaller sample size than Rondo, Caruso was like a +9 in net rating next to LeBron, while Rondo was, you know, in the negatives.
Rondo was the worst on the team next to LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. And so one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that seeing that sort of aspect of him on the court, like the positive net rating, that sort of the data sort of validated what a lot of Laker fans' eyeballs were sort of seeing. But at the same time, I'm with Grant on this. If it's not Avery Bradley, I definitely want Caruso to be starting. And for me personally, seeing a guy who's willing to like cut and stuff like that when LeBron has a ball or when Anthony Davis has a ball is really important, because Rondo typically does a lot of ball watching on the offense unless he has the ball in his hands. And I would rather have a guy like you mentioned, Ryan, somebody who can hit that open shot and is willing to cut and do all those sort of things. So I'm all aboard the Alex Caruso hype. I don't know if he's going to end up being the starter, but I do hope that he gets more than like the 19 minutes a game that he was getting last year. And I also hope that he ends up being the comparison I draw is like the Fred VanVleet comparison. I'd really like him to have that sort of role where he's like that main backup guard for us.
I think that fits well, but I think that would be probably one of the best situations that the Lakers are hoping for, and that he could fit into that kind of Fred VanVleet type role. And I do agree with you, though, that Rondo is more of a ball watcher, whereas Caruso, he's got a lot of good off-ball movement. He's going to cut to the basket. He's going to hit those shots. And I think that that's going to be a key this year for him to get that playing time he needs, is to be active off the ball, not just on the ball, and be a great passer. But moving on from this little Caruso hype train we've been on, let's hit on Kuzma a little bit. So Kuzma, you know, he went down with the ankle injury with Team USA, so he's not on their final roster. He's not playing in the World Cup right now. But those few games that we saw, including the one in Australia, you know, he was knocking down some threes. He looked good. What are your thoughts from that? Vinay, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think for me, it was just sort of seeing whether he had made some improvements in his offensive game. He was already a pretty good cutter last year and even his rookie season. So we already know he can move without the ball in his hand. For me, it was just mainly seeing, does he still have that same confidence in his shot? He shot pretty well from three. And the other aspect was his defense. We already know he's not really built to defend fours that are like the size of Anthony Davis, but he can definitely defend like those stretch four guys like Tucker, who plays for Houston. So it was just mainly seeing if those small things have sort of started translating over to his game. And so from the small sample size I saw, I was sort of pretty excited to see him hit his open shot. So I'm hoping that continues on to training camp and into the regular season.
Grant, what about yourself? What are you thinking about Kuzma?
I was excited to see his new jump shot, his new form. He looks like he has a much higher release. I'm a little worried about him leaning back a bit on his jump shot, just from what I've seen. But, you know, that kind of naturally happens when you raise the ball, your release point from what you're used to. So that should just come with repetition. But like Vinay said, I was most excited about his work on the defensive end. He really like displayed a lot of ability to switch between bigger and smaller offensive players. Last year, it felt like he was just chasing guards whenever he got switched onto a smaller player. And then when he got switched onto a bigger player, he would just get bullied down low. So, you know, in his limited play, we've only seen clips from their practices. We got to see him play in like, what, one, two, or three scrimmages before the World Cup. I think he displayed a good amount of switchability, and it just shows that he's working on it. At least he's putting in effort to improve on it. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I saw that with the jump shot, is that he's trying to improve his jump shot. He's trying to get his release point higher. And I think really somebody that he should be taking full advantage of that we just mentioned is Mike Pemberthy, who arguably has one of the purest jump shots that the Lakers have ever seen. And Shaq, you know, was very, very complimentary of his jump shot, saying he's one of the best jump shooters he's ever played with. Like, Mike's told me stories of Shaq and him kind of going back and forth about his jump shot. I think that that's a good resource that Kuzma will have. I also think that he's got a lot more room to grow, and I think that a lot of people are just hitting him with all this. Oh, your jumper needs to be fixed. Oh, you need to be better off the dribble, shooter off the dribble, like all this bam, bam, bam. It's like, just give the man some space. Let him grow, let him develop, and it's going to come. And I think that we saw that in Australia in a couple games. His switchability, as you mentioned, is awesome. And I think that that's something that Team USA, you know, did fine with. I watched their game against the Czech Republic yesterday, the replay of it. And, you know, they had Kemba Walker switching onto these guards. And I think that that's great. Or excuse me, Kemba Walker switching onto these bigs. And he was able to handle his own. But I think that that's a piece that Team USA is going to miss in Kuzma, is having that ability to switch from, you know, switch kind of effortlessly throughout the rotation to big, from big to small, from guard to forward or center. And Kuzma did do a great job with that. But as for that, fellas, I think that's going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lakeshow World. We are on Twitter now. So follow us there for all your Lakers updates, video edits. I mean, we're putting out a lot of good content, and it's only getting better. We're bringing more people on. We're putting out better content. We're doing videos. We're doing articles. You name it, we got it. So make sure you go there, Lakeshow World on Twitter and Lakeshow World online as well. We have a website where we post some articles and videos. So check us out. YouTube, I mean, we're all over the place. We got everything. For Vinay, for Grant, I'm Ryan Williams. Thank you guys for tuning in. As I mentioned, please subscribe if you like this podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode coming next week. Till then, we'll talk to you guys later. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.